Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You know what? Fuck Dirty Hair. Immortal Technique.
We got Kung Fu, nigga.
Killer Mike.
Fuck Terminator, nigga.
Brother Ali.
Fuck Rambo.
No. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. It's like a prison with invisible bars. No matter where you ride, it always follows you where you are. And it's hard out there for a pimp to get out of, but it's harder for the hook that I beat the shit out of. I got niggas underground in the Confederate States, ironically running from slavery that prison creates. So I never hate on the South, I respect their vision. I just hate on niggas that promote Samboism and white execs that love to see us in that position. They reflect the stereotypes of America's vision. They want us dancing, cooning and hollering, only respect us for playing sports and modeling. More than racism, it's staying your placism. All people are trapped in practical black racism. So fuck a civil war between the North and the South. It's between field niggas and slaves that are stuck in the house.
Civil war for the soul of a nation. This is a struggle to save civilization. Demonstration overthrowing the occupation. The annihilation of mental colonization. Civil war for the soul of a nation. We fight for the future of our civilization. Destroy the corrupt government organization. Trying to survive cultural assassination.
Rip niggas, blood niggas, essays, Asians. Why the fuck we born with each other's population? The devil wanna dead all our population. People and folk nation. Why the separation? Why we got Jamaicans hating on Haitians? When the British and French rape both nations. Mexicans and blacks kill each other straight hating. While the government profits from prison population. If you on the bottom, be you Anglo or Asian. You gotta recognize the realness in what I'm saying. You gotta recognize another G ain't the enemy. When the police ride and kill us frequently, we gotta make the youth see where the truth be. If you achieve it, grow and develop GD. 50 years of gains and our people still poor. If we really run the streets, we should really end war.
Civil war for the soul of a nation. This is a struggle to save civilization. Demonstration overthrowing the occupation. The annihilation of mental colonization. Civil war for the soul of a nation. We fight for the future of our civilization. Destroy the corrupt government organization. Trying to survive cultural assassination.
Listen, our hearts were torn apart just like y'all was. Watching towers full of souls fall to Georgia. Every time we called your office, you ignored us. Now you're holding hearings on us all inside of Congress. Microscopes on us, asking which are hardest. My answer was in line with all of the founding fathers. I think Patrick said it best, give me liberty and death. I shall never accept anything less. You claiming the sins, you play victimless. But you gave the kiss of death in the name of self-defense. Slavery and theft of other nations to the end. The pacifying your citizenry with success. We believe in freedom, justice, security, but they're only pure when they're applied universally. So certainly if I raged against the machine, my aim was only to clean the germs out of the circuitry. Urgently putting fear inside your heart. Make you burn Qurans and tell me not to build a mosque. Me, my wife, and babies, we ain't never made you hard. We just want to touch our head to the floor and talk to God. Ask him to remove every blemish from our heart. The greatest threat of harm doesn't come from any bomb. The moment you refuse the human rights for just a few, what happens when that view includes you? Civil war.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right. Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit rap for power? You sumbitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power, black power. More black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. We count this an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you from this bold radio broadcast, Black Power Radio. Want to welcome you out to a Sunday edition. This is a Sunday edition of our radio broadcast and radio program, as we expect to hear from our sisters and comrades in Azania, South Africa. Sister Zandi, chairwoman there in Azania, and the new Black Panther Party comrades there in South Africa. We have to accommodate them. They're on like a six-hour difference. Six-hour time delay versus where we are here in the States, and so we wanted to make it more comfortable for them. We heard from them this past Wednesday, and she called in for a little while at the beginning of our Wednesday broadcast, where we had the Honorable Mayor Chokwe Lumumba and the great Sister Vanessa Williams from the National Conference of Black Mayors on, and so it just wasn't enough time. There just was not enough time to be able to pull these comrades on board. And so we want to pull them back on with us today and get a chance to hear exactly what is going on over there in Zimbabwe. Now, these comrades just had a chance to return from Zimbabwe, and they were there on the ground. And they were there looking at the condition of Zimbabwe and also looking at the condition of our people there. And I'm glad to tell you that it's a great outlook over there, regardless to what the media says, regardless to what people say. Honorable President Robert Mugabe is over there whooping behind over there, one of the last remaining standing Pan-African nations in the hells and smells of South Africa, in the hells and smells of Azania. Honorable President Robert Mugabe is over there kicking behind, and we're happy to hear that and happy to say that. Before we get into that, remind you about the Million Youth March 2013, Million Youth March 2013 in Harlem, New York, 125th Street, Adam Clayton Powell, that entire stretch of week, the 5th through the 8th, National Black Family Convention, National Black Family Convention. And you must make sure that you go to the website, millionyouthmarch2013.com. Organizers are picking up all over the country. Momentum is picking up all over the country. And we're almost right now about 30 days away. And so now is the time. If you're getting on board, ready to get your buses together, get your packages together, get your tickets together, do whatever you got to do, now is the time to make them kind of moves. We don't got long. And the youth are ready to be strong. The youth are ready for liberation. The youth are ready to stand up. So we don't have long to play. And we don't have long to dilly-dally, as Minister Malcolm would say. But go ahead and get your bus. Go ahead and get your tickets. Go ahead and get some youth together, so that we can be a part of the Million Youth March 2013, convened by our great chairman, our national chairman, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, convened and organized on behalf of the black nation and on behalf of your youth and our youth. Let's be there or be square, as they say. Great lineup scheduled with the likes of those like a Wesley Muhammad and the likes of those like our great-great brother, Como Cottrell, the great-great Greg Street, the great-great Nick Cannons, all of those who are on board and who working to make this a success. Great, great Tommy Ford and so many others, as you can see clearly on our website, who are ready to support, and many, many others. It's not just a celebrity affair, but we just want to show you the far-reaching magnitude and scope of this Million Youth March. And if they know it's time to come together, millions for Trayvon, and they know it's time to come together to protect the black youth, and we've been knowing it's time. We know it's time. We see what's going on. We see the writing on the wall. You see the mass incarcerations. You see the attacks by police departments. You see the attacks, so-called black-on-black violence, and all that's happening with our children and our babies. You see it on a day-to-day basis. And so we have to ask the question, when is enough enough? When is enough enough? And when does it stop? When does it end? Well, it ends, my brothers and my sisters, when we make it end. And so we have to give thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers. We have to give thanks to those who have helped us to struggle and helped us to fight and get to this point. We give thanks to all of our honorable ancestors and our warriors, male and female, who have helped us to continue to push. And so we have to give thanks to the new Black Panther Party, all of the chapters that are out there working, and all of the membership that's out there pushing in the streets, making networking, making calls, emailing, faxing, doing everything that you're doing, touching hands. And we give thanks to the great visionary and warrior who helped to put this whole thing together and to help spread this message and mission farther than most thought it could be spread, the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. And we thank that great visionary and warrior and attorney leader and national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. And so, of course, as our general used to always say, we won't be long, but we will be strong. We won't be long, but we will be strong. It's very important events that are happening around the world that affect us right here in the United States. And if you don't understand Pan-Africanism, you're lost. Pan-Africanism means really the connection of the black family internationally. That means that wherever you find one black man or one black woman, whether they are in Mississippi or whether they are in Laos, whether they're in Nigeria, whether they are in Detroit, or whether they're in the Congo, that we recognize we're one family and one nation. And so as one family and one nation, we are concerned about the plight of our people anywhere on 196,940,000 square miles. And so that's why it's important to understand what's happening there in Zimbabwe, because the same rabid dog that bites them bites us too. The same dog that bit us bites them too. We're being bit and attacked by the same conditions, just like they in South Africa, Tanzania, fought the apartheid regime and fought to fight against the PASS laws. We here in the United States are fighting against stop and frisk, right in New York City, same and similar to the apartheid, where they would stop you for no reason because you didn't have your papers or because you didn't have the proper documentation or early passports. The white man would stop you, and they would stop the black man and black woman and let the white man and white people go. Same thing happening with stop and frisk. Same thing that's happening with stand your ground. Same thing that's happening all throughout the hills of North America. It's the same thing that happens in America. It's the same system and the same setup. We're going through the same struggle in the same conditions. That means we've got to fight the same fight. The same fight. We have to be united and have to be in unity. Our unity, our sisterhood, our brotherhood, and struggle is what will bring us through the situations. And so you got to prepare yourself. You got to prepare yourself for the Million Youth March 2013. Got to prepare yourself for the National Black Family Convention. You got to prepare yourself to be a part of an international struggle. It's got to be broader than just on your block and just in your home and just wherever you're at. You got to be prepared to be a part of an international global struggle that is taking place amongst black people the world wide. Black people all over are dissatisfied. Black people the world over are tired. Black people the world over are despised and rejected. Black people the world over are hurt and hungry. Black people the world over are poor. Black people the world over are oppressed. And you have other black people who refuse to accept that, who refuse to acquiesce, who refuse to give in. You got black people now that are angry and ready to organize and that are ready to do what we got to do to be strong. And so we want to bring in now our guest, one of our guests for this morning on Black Power Radio. He's no stranger to us. He is our national chairman, and as I told you, he is the visionary for this entire Men Youth March, and he'll take us further into our radio broadcast, and we'll bring our guest on from Azania, South Africa. This is our national chairman and big brother, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power, welcome to the radio show. Good morning.
All right, Black Power. Am I the only man on?
No, sir. We got listeners on right now.
Who you got on?
Radio listening audience, listening to you.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I know we're just getting started here. What I'm going to try to do is get the sisters on from South Africa and Zimbabwe so we can have the show. Then I have to do another 1 o'clock radio in Boston. So I'm going to try to get them to call back in on the call-in line is what I'm going to try to do. Let me just keep going, and let me give them the number. You just keep talking, and I'll get right back with you in 1 minute.
All right, yes, sir. And so you're hearing it live, brothers and sisters. We are preparing to hear from our family that is in Azania, South Africa. And, you know, sometimes dealing with these international calls, you have to get it right and tight and black and exact. But we thank you for listening. Those of you who it may be your first time calling, if it's your second time listening, a third time, whatever it is, if you've been a longtime supporter of us here on Black Power Radio, we always want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We cannot do this without you, our listening radio audience. We cannot do this type of movement without you. In a time where there is a strain on black airwaves, black radio airwaves, and especially progressive or revolutionary black radio airwaves, we appreciate those of you who take the time to tune in to us here on Black Power Radio and who take the time to be part of this mission. And what do I mean when I say that? We're talking about the liberation and the salvation of the black nation, black people. Everybody else has an agenda. Everybody, every culture has their mission and agenda out front. We see it in our communities on a daily and consistent basis. So many other people making money off of the black community. So many other people living their dreams and getting rich off of the black community. Black people are the only people who spend so much money in America and are the number one consumers of all products in America, and we don't have very much to show for it as a people. Our dollars, our economics only goes in our hands one time, in our community's hands one time, and it leaves right out of our community. That is economic suicide. That is economic desperation. That is economic. That is just economically terrible. All right? We are the only people who consume so much, and we have so little to show for it. So what does that mean? That means we have to be taught. We have to be taught what to do, how to do it, and how to use it. If other people have it, black people should have it, should have been had it. We built this country as a people, our ancestors, forefathers and foremothers, and yet have little to show for it. We built the railways. We helped to build even the White Houses and the governmental structures. We helped to educate the young people in the old slave houses and even educated the white children. They called you mammy, black woman. You were their mammy as you were even taking care of their little white children. And we taught them how to bury their dead in antiquity, in ancient times. We taught them how to be civil and act civil, talking about black people teaching white people in other nations. Black people did all of this. And in return, what we got for a reward was being naked, hungry, out of doors, robbed of names, robbed of our language, robbed of our culture, robbed of our African gods and spiritualities, robbed of our forays, robbed of our norms, robbed of the power of our own being, to where today, the result that you see on the street corner, The result that you see in the ghettos, the result that you see in most black communities is the result of the thanks that white America has given you and your people for building this entire country and for civilizing this entire planet and for being the mothers and fathers of civilization. Why is there such an attack on black people and such an attack on black life? Why is there that kind of attack on you? You are being attacked because you are the people of God. You are the original people. We are the original people. We are the rightful owners and landlords of this planet. Wherever we go, you will find our artifacts. Wherever you go, you will find our paintings. Wherever you go, you will find our structures. Wherever you go, you will find some kind of remnants or some kind of resilience of black people. We are not a new people. We are an old people. We are the oldest people to have ever walked the face of the planet Earth. And we are the most persecuted people anywhere on the face of the planet Earth. It is because black man and black woman, this establishment, and these beasts and these devils, they don't want you to know who you are for real. Because when you learn who you are, you have to wake up and you have to get up and you have to be your rightful self. You are righteous by nature. Sister, you're not a wicked black man or a wicked black woman. You are righteous by nature. Your nature is to do righteousness. Your nature, our nature is to do good. Your nature is to be in peace. Your nature is to be content. Your nature is to set yourself in heaven while you live, not in the sky, not after the sweet by and by. Your nature on this Sunday morning, if I could give you that kind of sermon, is to set yourself in heaven. That's our nature. We have heaven on the earth while we live. The Honorable Dr. Khaled Muhammad, the Black Power General, and our National Chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and the new Black Panther Party teach that heaven and hell is two conditions of mind, two states of being, two conditions right here on this earth while you live. You can have streets paved with gold. You can have gold iron fences. You can have mansions and luxury and good homes while you live. We can also have hell. We can also have no justice. We can also have discrepancy and deceit while we live. Everything that the Christian white man promised you during slavery time is really something that they were after of right here on the earth. They told us to work. We can't see morning, they can't see night. And they whipped us over our backs, and they kept us from reading and kept us from being a family and having a black family while we were on the earth. In the meantime, they enjoyed luxury. They enjoyed riches. They enjoyed being taken care of while they were on the earth. They didn't wait until they died, until they rigor mortis or something set in, and they waited to get up out the box and out the ground. They enjoyed it while they live, and they're enjoying it while they live, and they have no intention of changing anything that's going on 196,940,000 square miles. They have no intention of changing one iota of a thing, as my brother Minister King Samir Shabazz say, of anything that's going on. And so nothing will change unless we make a change. There will be no change in the condition of our youth and in the condition of our people unless we make a change. There will be no change in the condition of our economic statuses, in the condition of our social statuses, in the condition of our psychological statuses, unless we make a change. The scripture teaches that God only helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves, or whatever name you use. That God will only come to your aid if you help yourself. If we sit around and mope and complain and bicker and point fingers and just sit around and wait on some mystery to come help us, there'll be no mystery coming to save us. There'll be no huff or puff or smoke coming to save us. There'll be no Casper the Friendly, the Ghost, to come and save us. None of those entities caused a revolution anywhere in the world. When the Cubans wanted to get free, they didn't wait on no ghost to come and free them. When the Venezuelans worked to get free, they didn't wait on no ghost to come and save them. When the people in Libya under Colonel Muammar Gaddafi wanted to get free, they didn't wait on no Casper the Ghost to come and save them. When Zimbabwe wanted to get free, they didn't wait. Or Rhodesia at that time, they didn't wait on no ghost to come and save them. Why in America do we wait on ghosts to come and save us and goblins to come and save us and some kind of ghostbuster to come up out the sky and come and save us? It is because we are spooky. And we have taken on the culture of the white man and taken on the practice of the white man who teaches you about ghosts and goblins instead of teaching you about the God inside of yourself. That's why we give praise and credit to the great President Robert Mugabe, who not only is a head of state and a president, but he's a president warrior, a man who fought the revolution, fought the battle, fought against the imperialist white man and keeps fighting against them to keep them out. He continues to fight against Western and U.S. imperialism. He fights against Western influence of homosexuality and lesbianism that is sweeping across Africa and sweeping right here in America. Your sons and daughters, my sons and daughters, children of the future are being subjected to homosexuality and terrorism. Terroristic homosexuality. Well, now your daughters are looking on the TV for idols and people to follow and images to follow, and they're seeing women laying on top of women. Or the brothers and sons are seeing men chasing after men and men chasing and lying on top of men. They're watching men talk like women and women talk like men. They're watching women talk like men and men talk like women. They're watching men dressed like women and women dressed like men. The roles have totally been reversed. And we are living out the plan and policy and aim of Willie Lynch in our own lifetime. And so there has to be a revolution. There has to be complete constructive change. There has to not only be dialogue, there has to be a changing of the guard. That is the lesson that we learn in Zimbabwe. We learn in Zimbabwe that unless there is struggle, unless there is serious confrontation over ideologies, over sociologies, over psychologies, over land, over minerals and over wealth and over physical structures, unless there is confrontation for the real landowners and the real landlords and black people to be on top, nothing will change. Same thing right here in America. And I know many of us are afraid. We're scared to cut ourselves away from the umbilical cord of the white man. We are scared to cut ourselves away from being a part of the so-called society in America. But I'm here to tell you, you're already not a part of the elite. You're not a part of the elite, and you're darn sure most of you are not a part of the power structure of America. So you're already on the outs as it is. We say that separation is the best and only solution. We must separate. You must carve out some of this good earth to call your own. We must carve out something good for our youth to have, because it's clear they're being annihilated in the streets, they're being annihilated in the so-called public education systems, and being annihilated even in the healthcare practices. Many of them, when they get sick and they pass, their organs being shipped around and sold on black markets. A judge here recently just got arrested for paying to incarcerate black youth. He just got arrested the other day. He was paying behind the scenes. They were paying him to make sure that black youth were incarcerated. As we've been talking to you the past couple of weeks on the conspiracy to destroy black boys and the conspiracy to destroy black youth, here comes some more living proof. A judge, I'm going to get you the actual fact name, and I'm going to get you where it happened here in a few moments. But a judge was arrested, taken into custody over being paid behind the scenes to make sure that when a black youth came before him, that there was a conviction. Now think of the psychology of a wicked demon, a wicked man, a wicked white man, who would take monies just to make sure that your sons or your daughters were arrested or even more than arrested, taken into custody and incarcerated to keep up with the mass statistics of mass incarceration and to keep up with the lie that black youth are the most criminal. Read a statistic the other day that 87% of white people are killed by white people. 87% of white people are killed by white people. But the news would have you to believe, and the newspapers would have you to believe, that black people are doing all this killing, that black people are the ones killing white folks, and that we are the ones slashing white throats. They would like you to believe that. But 87% of white folks are killed by white folks. You don't hear that on the news. You hear about what blacks are supposed to be doing, what blacks have supposedly done to ourselves. All you hear on the news and the reading in the newspapers is but all this so-called black-on-black violence. But it's whites that are killing whites. It's browns that are killing browns. It's yellows that are killing yellows. And it's blacks that are killing blacks, aided by white supremacy. There's a difference when a black man or black woman kills one another versus when a brown man or brown woman kills one another, or versus when a yellow man or yellow woman kills one another, or versus when a red man or red woman kills one another, or versus when a white man or white woman kills each other. There's a total different spectrum and paradigm for when a black man and black woman kills one another, because we are not killing each other just because we hate each other or just because we naturally hate each other. We're killing one another because we have been taught that we are our own worst enemy. We have been taught through slavery that the black man is nothing, and that the black woman is nothing, and that in order to get ahead in this world, you must step on any black man or black woman that gets in your way. We have been taught the ways of the white man, that it's a dog-eat-dog world, as they teach you, instead of our African culture and African traditions of communalism, or as Philip P. Newton would say, inter-revolutionary intercommunalism, where we act as a network of communities. Or as we say, Pan-Africanism, a revolutionary Pan-Africanism, where we act as one nation and one family regardless of geological or geographical location. We're talking about getting back and black to ourselves. I'm going to take some calls here as we prepare and wait for our national chairman as he organizes this call for Mazania. But let's get back to black. That's what the Million Youth March 2013 is about, getting back to black, getting back to having a place in the sun for our youth and us. When we say youth, we're talking about you as well. We're talking about the young at heart as well. We're talking about you if you're past your 30s, if you're past your 40s, you're past your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s to 100. I told you we are the oldest people on the planet. So that means that if you are 100 years old, you're still a young man or a young woman. Hell, you look at Honorable Minister Farrakhan, he's 80 years old, still a young man. You look at great others who are so-called, according to this world, up in age, but they are young men and young women, and you know that the black don't crack anyway. And so you got to stay young at heart, but we got to fight for those that are young at age. Young at age. I'm talking about a judge taking money to arrest your babies. Let me take a call here. And area code 562-239. Your area code is 562-239. Welcome to the radio broadcast. Give us your thoughts and your comments over this issue. Black Power.
Black Power, brother, national spokesman. This is brother Ali. Ali on the West Coast, good brother. Oh, brother, you're sounding off like an instructor, brother. You're putting it down, brother, in street terms. But brother Sean, I just want to comment, brother, on just basically, brother, the foundation of what you have put to me this morning, as you do so beautiful, brother, is that white supremacy has to go, you know, within our people, within the mindset of the planet, it's got to go, brother, and I appreciate you throwing those figures about about homicides and about the murders, you know, because, like you said, the news is controlled by you-know-who, the white supremacist. And I was listening to this buck dancing, bootlicking Larry Elder the other day, and he was throwing these figures out, brother, about, you know, they always want to run to Chicago. Oh, there's 500 dead in Chicago. That's what they talk about when they want to talk about the Zimmerman case or murders or amongst communities. And this clown had the nerve to say that out of the 14% of our people here in America, that 7% commit 50% of all murders and homicides and robberies in America. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. But you just threw that out, 87%, brother. That makes sense because people kill the people closest to them. So I don't know, you know, I don't know where this clown comes from, but I do know he's just an agent for the man, you know. He's just a bootlicking buck dancing Tom. But, brother, thank you so much, brother. And Black Power, brother, keep strong, brother. We need you.
Brother Ali?
Brother Sean?
Yeah, okay, I lost you for a second.
Okay, I said, brother, keep doing what you're doing, brother. Keep bringing us this news, brother, this information, and love you, brother, and assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Wa alaikum salam and Black Power. Brother, it is my duty and my honor, our duty and our honor to bring you this news, to bring you this bold radio broadcast, and to bring you this information. And we thank you for what you're doing on the West Coast, sending our love and our greetings to all the comrades on the West Coast, and keep up the fight. And make your way to New York, brother. I want to see you in New York City, New York City. Let me pick up Abraham Foxman. New York City. We want to see you in New York City, September the 7th of this year in Harlem, New York.
Hey, brother, I got to come see you, brother. I got I got two Laker hats and two Clipper hats. I don't know which one to bring you, you know?
I don't know, Black man, but I look forward to seeing you there for me and you, March 2013. Thank you so much for your call, my brother.
Yes, sir, brother. Black Power.
Black Power. Brothers and sisters, that's Brother Ali on the West Coast signing off, letting it be known that he's in full support of the Million Youth March 2013. Let it be known that he supports our national chairman, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and you should do the same. We want to welcome him back to the radio broadcast as he will take us further into our program and work on talking to our comrades from Lausanne, South Africa. This is Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power. I'm here to say that I don't think we're going to have on. We can't have on tonight our guest from Azania because of they're in Zimbabwe and it's just too expensive right now to be doing the whole show. So we got to work a better method. So we decided that they would be on to give a report of about 10 minutes tomorrow night at 8:15. PM on Black Power Radio on 8:15, they will be on to give the report from the awesome victory of President Robert Mugabe, the awesome victory of Mugabe and ZANU-PF, which is good news for the black man and the black woman anywhere on the planet, good news for the African, and good news for our people, for his efforts and his government and his value system is the righteous way for us to go. And so thanks to him, thanks to the New Black Panther Party and Azania for traveling to Zimbabwe, Sister Imbarika and others. They will be on tomorrow night. Congratulations also to the December 12 movement, who is also there again, there once again, push the selection through. And we will be on tomorrow night, and Sunday this will resume. It's more of a push. Behind it, more of a pump behind it. And Africanism and also black liberation theology. At the time, if some overseas or it will be dedicated to everything we do on every show, one way or the other, all roads are pointing to and pointing toward September 7th. September 7th, the Million Youth March 15-year anniversary in New York and the Black Power Convention, September 5th through the 8th, and also our National Black which is part of what we're talking about tomorrow, our national blackout all over America and across the planet on September 7th. So, brother, I'm going to let you handle it from here, but it's going to go down tomorrow night, and we just have to gear this up to be better for next week, and then we got to figure out some Skype and some other cost-cutting moves where we can get all these costs in and at the same time keep us within our budget, which we're drastically over budget, way over budget. So anybody in the radio listening audience, if you believe in this cause that we're fighting so hard for day in and day out on pins and needles, can you please, please right away go to paypal.com or inbox us on Facebook and donate. Go to the millionyouthmarch2013.com. Go to .com. Hit the money. We can as posters.
Jim, your phone is breaking up.
I got a roll, but we need some money. We need real backup and real funds and real effort behind what we're doing. Thank you so much. I'm Black Power Roll, but that's how it's going to look tomorrow night.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and Black Power. That is our national chairman, letting it be known. I know his phone was breaking up, but I know what he was saying. He was saying to support the broadcast, go to paypal.com. He said go to paypal.com and use the email attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. Paypal.com is where we're linked into. And then to get it direct into this broadcast and to direct into this organization, just use the email, attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. We do need you to support this radio broadcast. Other crackers like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and them others, they have sponsorships and they have corporations that will support them to talk smack about black people and to talk smack about Trayvon Martin and to talk terribly about Marissa Alexander and Sean Bell and Oscar Grant and anything black. They talk terribly about it unless it's somebody who's buck dancing and bending over and giving evil an opening. We don't ever want to be sponsored by the corporations, nor sponsored by anything white, nor controlled like that. We want to totally rely on God and our people. And so it doesn't hurt for you to go to PayPal and give a 10 or to give a 20 or to a monthly contributor of 100. Doesn't hurt. We do that all the time. We do it without even thinking about it. You might go to the restaurant and spend 30, might spend 40, 50, 60, 70. Some of you big ballers, you might spend 200, like it ain't nothing at a restaurant, and just gobble that up and eat that down and let that out later on in the afternoon. And so we can do that so easily over food and over our appetites. And you know you got to support your revolution and support your revolutionary broadcast. And you know you got to help. And everybody can do a little bit, so we all ain't got to do a lot. So the address is paypal.com, attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. I wanted to get back and tell you about this judge sentenced to 28 years. 28 years for selling black teens to prison. This comes out of northeastern Pennsylvania. Northeastern Pennsylvania judge ordered on Thursday to spend nearly three decades in prison, which he won't. He'll probably die in prison or be, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But he had a role in a massive bribery scandal that prompted the state's high court to toss thousands of juvenile convictions and left lasting scars, as it says and reads, on children who appeared in his courtroom and their families. His name says Luzerne County Judge Mark Caviella. Judge Mark Caviella, I hope I'm saying that right, Caviella Jr., sentenced to 28 years in federal prison for taking a $1 million dollar bribe from the builder, a pair of juvenile detention centers, in a case that became known as Kids for Cash. $1 million bribe. A judge out of northeastern Pennsylvania took a $1 million bribe, sentenced to 28 years in federal prison for a couple of juvenile detention centers in a case that is now known as Kids for Cash. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturned about roughly 4,000 convictions. You didn't hear me. 4,000 convictions issued by this judge between 2003 and 2008. Of course, saying that he violated the constitutional rights of the juveniles, including the right to legal counsel and the right to intelligently enter a plea. This Caviera, 61, was tried and convicted early in the year for racketeering. And his attorneys had asked for a reasonable sentence in court papers, saying, in effect, that he had already been punished enough. Now, I want you all just to think on this and marinate on this as we're talking about this Million Youth March 2013, the 15-year anniversary, and this Million Youth Movement and the National Black Family Convention. See, I want to put it in some context for you in case some of you out there in our listening audience don't see the importance of what we are doing in this hour and what we're doing at this time. A judge in northeastern Pennsylvania took a $1 million bribe in Kids for Cash. He wouldn't let them intelligently enter their pleas of not guilty. They were not informed in his courts, their constitutional rights violated. The judge, already convicted of racketeering early in the year, and his attorneys come to his bat and say he had already been punished enough, that he shouldn't even be punished for his crime, all right? And so this is the type of lynching that's happening with our babies and with our youth. I know we're looking for the nooses and the ropes, but you got to understand, slavery is high tech now. Slavery is technological. Slavery is informational. Okay? Slavery is being done through the streets, through the first level, through the police departments, and through the second level, through the courts of the United States, with these judges and with these prosecutors and with these defense attorneys. Slavery is happening. It's high tech slavery now, to where the noose and the rope is considered outdated, old-fashioned. It's the whole reason why Willie Lynch said he didn't want the slave masters and the slave breakers. He didn't want them chasing after the slave. It's the whole reason, because he said that the slave was physically stronger than the slave master, and at that point in time, mentally and emotionally stronger than the slave master. And so they had to break us down, and they had to make it to where that the slave would fight each other and fight ourselves. We would fight ourselves. We would kill off ourselves, and that the slave master would be able to control us and keep us under psychological, mental, and sociological strain and control. That happened when the organizations like the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis determined that they would not wear the hood outright as much, except in ceremonial stances, but that they would go into law enforcement, that they would go into the military, that they would go into the Navy, they would go into the Marine, they would go into the courts and sit behind the judge's bench and be in positions of power. See, that's real racism. And so this judge here, Cia Cavalera, okay, it's C-I-A-V-A-R-E-L-L, so I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's Cia Varela, something like that, Cia Varela, said this judge now that he was able to take $1 million, $1 million bribe, to incarcerate your youth. And don't think that it's just there in northeastern Philadelphia. You got to be crazy as hell to believe that a scheme of this magnitude, already involved in racketeering, which you know somewhere along the line probably involves some kidnapping, some of them babies, black babies that are coming up missing in Philadelphia, you better believe that some of them were kidnapped by people involved with this judge and other low-handed figures. But don't believe that it just stops with this judge here. It's all throughout the United States, all throughout the court systems and the just us system of America. And so this judge in particular got caught. He just happened to get caught. But think about the times when you've gone before the judge. Think about the cases that you've seen where it's went to the judge. Think about the cases and the, well, let's think about in specific the case of Trayvon Martin. And where it got down into the judge and to the jury. And even with all the evidence against George Zimmerman's claims of his head being bashed into concrete, looking at the minuscule injuries on the back of his head, looking at the direction of the blood flow on the back of his head, not going down towards the ground as if gravity was pulling his head down towards the concrete, but down towards his earlobes as if he was leaning over young Trayvon, fighting and defending his life, fighting for his life and fighting for survival with all of that evidence, with no grass stains on the back of his clothes damn near clean, Trayvon's DNA not found on the gun or the handle of the gun, no residue found on him. Coroner said he didn't even look like he had been in a fight at all. With all of that evidence and much, much more that had come out during that trial, when it got down into the jury box, the jury pool, the jury chambers, and got down into the judge's hands and the jury hands, they said not guilty. Later, for the juror B-29 to come out and say George Zimmerman got away with murder. How can this woman say that she knew that George Zimmerman got away with murder, but allegedly based upon the so-called evidence, they could not convict? I thought it was supposed to be beyond a reasonable doubt. What happened to reasonable doubt? Why she didn't hang that jury? See, we got to start asking these questions. Was she paid off? Was the jury paid off? Was the prosecution in that case paid off? Well, was the judge paid off? In light of what's happening in northeastern Philadelphia and the judge being paid to basically take your babies off the street and incarcerate the youth, was this juror B-29, was she paid off to keep quiet? Okay? And so this is happening all over America. And this is one of the reasons, and there are many other reasons, why we must develop self-defense for our youth. And I mean some real self-defense. I mean some self-defense with some teeth in it. That when these stop and frisk officers grab black youth, black men train black men and train black women, take your greedy, filthy, nasty, recessive hands off of our babies. Yeah, we can't rely on the courts to do it. When they illegally stop and frisk and stop and search our youth, we need a ministry of defense, ministers of defense in 2013 that will legally lock and load and defend our youth and defend our people. It can't just be talk. And so Million Youth March, Million Youth Movement, National Black Family Convention 2013, all of that's on the agenda, all of that's on the table. That's why I keep telling you, you got to go to millionyouthmarch2013.com. If you go to millionyouthmarch2013.com, you'll see everything we have laid out and lined up for you. And it grows by the day, and you're going to hear a whole lot more over the next 30 days, over the next 30 days of what we have in store for our people. And if we can put our all into this movement, and if we can deliver a viable agenda for our youth to follow by, for our youth to be educated by and be mentored by, and to be guided by, if we can and we will, and we consult with our elders, and we use the experience, and Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz is using his experience, been blessed to go through 1998, Million Youth March with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, 1999 with the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, 2000, Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, 2001, didn't Honorable Khalid Muhammad spiritually transition. And it came back in 2003 with another Million Youth March. And now we've come into a full circle 15 years later to a Million Youth Movement with a full-fledged agenda, local organizing committees from the top to the bottom, to do things after this Million Youth Movement. If you can just get behind this, you're going to feel some relief. That's what you want in America. We want some relief. We want some release of the pressure. That's what we all want. But in order for us to get that and go through the relief, we got to go through the pressure. We got to go through it. Before the baby's born, there's pressure. When you are removing the cavities or removing a bad tooth in your mouth, you feel pressure. Anytime that there's a surgical operation that's happening, you feel pressure. Sometimes you feel a little pain. So there is no struggle without pain. There is no struggle without pressure. There is no triumph without some ordeal. So we got to be willing to face some people in the streets and face some people in these neighborhoods and stand up to these no good bastards, these judges and these courts and these law enforcement and these crazy, backwards, mentally destroyed portions of our people. We got to be willing to do this. And we are willing to do this. All right? So remember in this hour, the great Marissa Alexander, who is behind bars right now, denied stands your rights and faces 20-plus years in jail. Remember our political prisoners, those who are still behind bars, who have fought for the Black Panther Party, fought for the BLA, and fought for other formations and were unjustly put in prison and in jails and in the hole by COINTELPRO. Remember our young 13-year-old brother who was murdered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin by a white man who ran outside and just shot him down in cold blood. Remember the young brother, I think he was in Dallas, Texas, who was shot down because the white man said he felt like he was breaking into his homes, into houses. Remember Trayvon Martin. Remember Oscar Grant. Remember Anthony Hill. Bring this stuff to your mind. Remember the Sean Bells. Remember the Romali Grahams. Remember the James Byrd. Just remember and bring it to your mind. And put their spirit in your heart. And pick up the legacy and put this mission on your back and make your way to September the 7th, 2013, and make your way to the National Black Family Convention. Let us come together. And as the books say, let no man separate. Let no man separate us. Let nobody drive a wedge in between us, in between what God is bringing together. Abraham Foxman is not strong enough to stop the Million Youth March. The ADL is not strong enough to stop the Million Youth March. Zionists out there, you're not strong enough to stop us. No white supremacists. No organization, Black Times and Sambo's, you're not strong enough to stop this. Because God has ordained this. Almighty God has ordained this. And if you can remember, in the book, as we prepare to wrap this up, in the book, I think it was in the book of Exodus, it was the youth that inherited the promised land. Moses and them spied the land. The elders, they spied. They saw the promised land. They saw it. They saw the hereafter. They saw the heaven that's on this planet. While we live, they saw it. But the elders, those with their old mentality, that old slave mentality, they couldn't go in it. They were afraid. They were trying to tell God in the book to go in ahead of them. They didn't want to go fight. They didn't want to take to the streets. They didn't want to suit up. They didn't want to push for the new Black Panther Party and its revolutionary cause. They wanted to stay at home. They wanted God to go in ahead of them. Say, God, you clear out the land. We'll come in later on. Some of you do us the same way. You want Sean Kwali to go in ahead. You want Amir Sankofa to go in ahead. You want Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz to go in ahead. Minister King Samir to go in ahead. Minister Hashim and Zing. You want us to go in ahead. But you don't want to go in. You don't want to go side by side to build a promised land for our people. You're a coward. And cowardly people cannot inherit the promised land. It takes bold black men and black women who are willing to face a Goliath, willing to face their fears, willing to face their insecurities, willing to face whatever it is that we got to go through to get to the promised land, not promised sky, the promised land. It takes men and women of courage and character, men and women of consequence and destiny, men and women who don't have anything to lose, who are willing to go through hell and back to see our people free. That's the kind of men and women that are signing up on a daily basis in the new Black Panther Party, the kind of men and women that are here amongst the ranks, the kind of men and women that are born and destined to fulfill this 10-point program that was destroyed by COINTELPRO and this program that was destroyed by J. Edgar Hoover and the United States government. That's the kind of men and women have to get behind this program that Garvey had and this kind of program that Elijah Muhammad had, this kind of program that Minister Louis Farrakhan has, the kind of program that Malcolm X had, the kind of program that Huey P. Newton had, the kind of program that Noble Drew Ali had, the kind of program that Harriet Tubman had and Angela Davis and Assata Shakur had, takes them kind of men and women to get behind this. So y'all email us at mbpphq@yahoo.com. That's our national email. For those of you who are not members yet, don't have your Panther Cards membership, and you ain't got that Panther on you, you ain't got your button, you ain't down with this mission, you email us. And you get down in your cities, and you start up in your cities, and you be a part of the black resistance. You must resist imperialism. You must resist colonialism. You must resist white supremacy. You must resist racism. You must resist sexism. You must resist Zionism. You must resist apartheid. You must resist artificial borders. You must resist miseducation. You must resist chemical and biological warfare targeted and aimed at our people. You must resist being drafted into the white man's military to fight for a war, an unjust war that does not have anything to do with us. You must resist black-on-black violence. You must resist snitching and collaboration and cooperation with the oppressor. You must resist the death penalty that is targeted and aimed at our people. You must resist us being mass incarcerated and judged not by a jury of our peers. You must resist us being jobless and homeless. You must resist us who are out here in the hells and the smells of North America who have lost our name, language, culture, and religion. You must give it back to us. And you can do it. You are a part of that parcel. And you are a part of that chain and link that can do it. Go to newblackpanther.com. Me and you at march2013.com. NVPPHQ@yahoo.com. And send me a friend request on Facebook. Send Attorney Malik Louis Shabazz a friend request on Facebook. Send our national assistant system, Mayor Sankofa, African Freedom, a friend request. Send us all requests. Link up with your Vanguard Party, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Black power to black people, all power to the people. And remember, if black people are not free, there's nobody that's free.